What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 203. And of course, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Just working through some technical difficulties trying to get this podcast up and going.
So Ryan has built a new computer, which is definitely exciting. And
absolutely.
The whole thing about building a new computer, when you're building a new computer, I really wouldn't suggest like ghosting your or straight copying your hard drive. You want to fresh install everything.
I agree.
And do all that. So the pain of installing all of your apps and all of your software, and you know, sometimes you have to redo all your settings. You kind of have to do everything. It's not very fun.
I mean, a lot's nice nowadays with so many things being cloud-based or, you know, saved and synced up to the cloud. So a lot of that you don't have to worry about. And we have the luxury, or, you know, in this situation, I have the luxury of, well, my other system is sitting 2 feet away and plugged in and powered on. So if I need something, I could just copy it off. It's not like I'm, you know, recovering from a failure and having to start over from scratch with nothing to go from. So it makes it a little easier, but there's always something.
Yeah. And doesn't it there's been times where I just completely reinstall Windows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't it feel so good to just have a fresh install sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. It was lovely being able to start from scratch here.
Yeah. Now, so you went from a first gen Ryzen system to a current or third gen Ryzen system.
Yep.
And you upgraded your SSD, right?
I did. Yep. I got a new SSD. I've had it for a while. I scored a good deal like late summer, early fall on a Western Digital SN750. 512 gig, I think. So I've kind of just had been sitting on that waiting.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And even that's not even Gen 4.
No.
So, but you had told me, you're like, holy crap, this thing's fast. So you had like probably like 1500 megabyte a second drive.
Yeah.
And you basically doubling that, going to around, you know, 3500 on that drive. So that's just like exciting. I'm kind of jealous. I haven't done an upgrade to my system in a while, as far as like new CPU, new motherboard, all that fun stuff. So that is
I didn't necessarily do it because I needed to. I wasn't feeling like any performance requirements or any real compelling reason, other than I'm getting ready to kind of finalize a cooling solution in this, and it's probably going to involve hard tubing. So I just wanted to be at a point where this machine was going to be how it is and leave it at that. So
well, that's exciting. I'm very jealous. Let's jump into what we have this week. And everybody following along on the stream, you can follow along in our show notes. They're under the podcast section on the website. Everything that we're going to talk about this week is in the show notes. And everybody who's of course listening on audio later, the show notes will be there as well, so you'll have everything. But let's jump into reviews this week. And I took a look at two very cool products, two very completely different products, opposite ends of the spectrum here. But first, we have a cooler from Cooler Master, which we actually saw almost a year ago at CES. And this is their Master Air MA620M. And I did a video on this week, too. So if you guys don't want to read the review, check out the video. They're both on the review page. And this cooler is different than pretty much every cooler that I reviewed this year, just for the fact of its design. So it's designed to look like a heatsink, like just one big heatsink.
Yeah. I mean, there's no obvious fan there. There is a fan, but it just looks like a huge, you know, octagon, square.
And you might think, like, I don't care, but we do care, right? That's why there's lights on AIOs. That's where there's, you know, mm-hmm. that's why we have this stuff. That's why we have RGB fans. So you do care about what it looks like. And when this is installed in a system, it's going to look awesome because it's uniform. You don't have fans on one side or just these fans that don't really match the heatsink, which is kind of what happens when it comes to air coolers. So it's designed with a fan in the center. And I absolutely love that design. It just, like, again, it just makes this cooler look really, really good. So you have that with a fan in the center. It's a really beefy cooler too. It's quite big, but it's designed so the bottom half here is cut off of the heat sink so you don't run into any clearance issues. It's designed for all mainstream processors. And you have, I believe, 6 copper heat pipes here. And of course, the, you know, all copper base, the heat pipes are painted black, just like the heat sink. So again, they do a really good job of making everything uniform and look good in your system. And then when you go ahead and power it on, it looks pretty awesome.
It looks pretty sick.
Yeah, it has the RGB lighting in here, which is cool. I think that it's as I said in the review, it's not like crazy in your face. Mm-hmm. It's just there. And it connects via a 3-pin addressable connection. They include all the cables for all the major motherboard manufacturers, but they also include their own controller. So if you have an older motherboard, or you might have an older motherboard that actually doesn't have a 3-pin addressable, it has a 4-pin, you can use their controller, which is super easy to use. It's, you know, it's like I said, the RGB lighting looks really good. And it just kind of completes the cooler. It's going to look good in any build. And again, if you match it up with your motherboard software, it's, you know, all of your RGB LEDs are going to be doing the same thing, and it's going to look really good.
Yeah, I like this trend of kind of the precision line RGB lighting. You know, I think we first kind of saw it with a Fantex case at one point where they had kind of a line at the bottom of their tempered glass side panel. Like these Inwin fans that I'm using are that just real fine line. This cooler obviously has that. I think it's kind of, instead of just blasting the inside of your case with crazy light RGB and colors, RGB puke, I think this looks pretty good.
So. Yeah, and one thing I also didn't mention is installation. So when it came to Cooler Master coolers, especially their bigger ones, their installation process used to be horrible. One of the worst. And we didn't harp on it too much in those past reviews because for most people, you'd be doing it once, right? You'd be installing it and then you let it go. But it wasn't good. This cooler is super easy. I mean, you basically remove the AM4 mounting bracket and all that in the back plate. You put their back plate on. And then at the top, there's just 2 screws that you line up with the holes. And it's, you know, it's that easy. It's one of the easiest cooler installations that I've done all year. Definitely one of the easiest cooler installations that I've ever done from Cooler Master. So it's like, I feel like they solved all of their past problems with this cooler.
I've had some coolers that kind of use that top-down screw method. And I think that's a really good way to do things, especially on these really large coolers that just, they hang over that stock clamp, you know, that clip mechanism. And I think this is a good way to get past that.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, the installation was great. Everything about this cooler is great. We'll go into performance. You know, we tested this on an AM4 system, a 2700X. Idle temperatures aren't anything to like crazy write home about, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It basically performed in the middle of our pack, maybe even towards the lower end. But you have to remember, this has one fan. So you only have one fan running on this, but under load, it was our third best cooler out of everything that we've, you know, ever tested on this test system. The 2 coolers that beat it were the Sith Ninja 5, which is 3 times as large and uses 2 fans, and the Noctua U12A, which also uses 2 fans. So with one fan, and I think, at least in my opinion, it looks better. Installation compared to the Noctua is about the same, and they're both priced the same. So this cooler is, I think, $95. So it's on the high end of air coolers, but the Noctua is just as expensive. So it's kind of like, which one do you think would look better? Yeah. The Noctua obviously has no RGB lighting, no RGB controller. This does. I feel like this looks better. And I didn't test the Noctua when I reviewed it as far as temperatures, as far as, you know, sound, but this only has one fan, that is two fans, so it's likely that that's going to be
is it a 120 or 140 milliliter fan in there?
This has a 120.
120, okay.
Yes. So in the U12A also has two 120s on it. So I just think that this is just kind of checks all the boxes for me. Yeah. It looks great. It has RGB lighting. It gives me a controller for that RGB lighting. The installation is really good, and it just performs. It performs really well. Like I said, in our top end of our air coolers. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. And the only things that I didn't like about it is there was, I actually found this out, so I have to take this off the review now that I think about it. I said there was no way to mount the RGB controller, but I found out that there's a magnet in it.
It's just not obvious.
Yeah, the test bench that I use is not metal. So, and the price might be high for a lot of people. $100 for an air cooler is on the high end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially, you know, I agree. There's another nice cooler from Cooler Master, you know, the Hyper 212, where you can save quite a bit of money, get very decent performance from it, and would allow you to maybe get some faster RAM or a little faster CPU. Again, it's just figuring out where that balance is for you on what you want.
Yeah, but I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it's a really great cooler. I think it's one of the best coolers that Cooler Master has ever come out with. Again, you have a big cooler like that, they solved the installation problems that they had in the past. Yep. They made it look amazing. It's one of the best looking air coolers that I've ever seen, just because you can't even tell that there's a fan in there, and the RGB on the top looks amazing. So again, one of the best coolers I think Cooler Master has ever put out. So definitely check out the review, and in the review is the video. So definitely check that out as well. And we'll go to an extremely different product from that, which is the iStorage Data Assure Pro 2. So we reviewed some iStorage hard drives in the past, and basically what iStorage does is they make really secure hard drives. So if you're working in an organization where security is a big thing, or you're just crazy about security and you want your data to be secured, iStorage hard drives are the way to go. This is their flash drive, and I actually have it. I can get it here. This is their flash drive. It is, as you can see, it's not much larger than your typical flash drive, which is impressive. And it's really heavy duty. Like, it feels good. The actual cap is metal. The key ring is metal too, which you don't see on like any flash drives.
Yeah, they're usually plastic
or anything like that. So it's an encrypted flash drive, and it's not software. You don't need any software to use the encryption. So for a lot of storage, when it comes to your encryption, you need to install a certain piece of software on your system. With this, you don't have to do any of that. It's all on the drive. As you can see from the drive itself, it has a keypad on it, and that is how you gain access to the drive. So you set up a PIN, can be anywhere from, I believe, 7 to 14 digits, and that is your PIN to get into the drive. So as soon as you enter it, it unlocks the drive, and if you put it in, you know, a USB port, then...
So you do that before you plug it in?
Yes.
So there's an internal battery in this?
Yeah, so there's an internal battery and everything like that. Now, if the battery runs out, you have to plug it in and it will charge up for you to use. Okay. But that's how they make it secure. And there's another chip in there as well that uses that battery for all of your encryption stuff and for like tampering and things like that. So
if that battery dies, you know, not just like runs out of power, but like actually dies, and the drive is probably, well, not necessarily dead, because if you're getting power off of your USB port, I guess you could probably still
use it. I didn't really think about that when I did this review, so I should probably think about that. I'm not sure what their
Thinking the recovery, you know, because I have a secured USB drive that I use at work. It's not the same drive or anything, but it doesn't operate on the same mechanism, but it has some software that reaches out, you know, to the internet, which is the great thing about this is you don't, like you said, don't require that software. It's all there.
Not software. Which is nice. It's not software and it's not platform. So it works on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Yeah,
it doesn't matter what you plug it into.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you plug it into. So on that front, like it's a great drive. But on top of that, it has so many other things that maybe other products don't have. So the actual buttons, so we've all seen in you know, in movies where they put like the black light on the keypad and you can see which ones they press. With this, there's a coating on here that's like, it's anti-wear coating, so you can't see that, I guess, or anything like that. They're under the casing, all of the components are in an epoxy resin.
That's what I thought was pretty cool.
If you bust this open and you would want to get the chips out of it, you would basically damage them before you could even get any of the data. It has all these other protections. Mm-hmm. Like there's all of these volt hacks that you can do on flash drives and other hard drives. It's protected against all of that. It has all of these certifications, which we list in the review, and you can go on their website and see all its different certifications. It also has certifications that are still pending for the drive as well.
Cool.
So it's just a full on, if you want to secure your data, this is the way to go. And one thing I really like about it is that with all of this stuff, there's an extra processor in here and the battery and everything. It's still about the size of a flash drive. I can throw it in my pocket. I can connect it to my keys. It's, you know,
yep. It's so just how does it perform?
So this is a USB 3.2 Gen 1 or a USB 3.1 drive. Yeah. And it's a flash drive. Wrong page. So it performs, just like what you would expect. We averaged around 125 to 130 megabytes a second read, around 115 megabytes a second write. So that's what you would expect from a flash drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it comes to those type of speeds, nothing crazy. But I don't think, again, this drive isn't necessarily built for
speed. Right. That's not its main purpose.
So. Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, there's really not much bad I could say about this drive. The only thing that I can say is that the buttons, for some people, not for me, because I don't have massive hands, but if you were a bigger guy and you had bigger hands and you're trying to press these buttons, you might have an issue with that.
Yeah.
One cool thing that I didn't say, so you get your pin, but then you get a destruction pin or a self-destruct pin. Say you're captured by the enemy or whatever, and they're like, unlock this drive. Be like, oh, sure, I'll unlock it. And you put in this self-destruct pin, then you can go ahead and it will completely erase the drive, completely delete the encryption key. It will do everything.
Wow.
So the enemy or whoever wants your data thinks that you're unlocking it, but you're actually self-destructing it.
Does it have any sort of like lockout if you put in the incorrect password like 10 times or something?
There's a lot of cool things like that. So if you enter the wrong pin 10 times, it will self-destruct or it will erase everything. You can also set a user pin as well. So with the user pin, you can access the drive, but you can't you can't set any of the pins. So you set all the pins up yourself. So you can have a user pin where like they can have access to the drive, but they don't have the ability to change pins or do things like that. So like I said, it's just an awesome drive, I think, for data protection and everything like that. And it's built well. It's not a crappy piece of plastic either, which I really like. So like I said, it's just a great drive overall. Definitely check out the review. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award, which means if you were like, I need to secure flash drive, this would be on the top of my list. So definitely check that out. And we will move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we are featuring a build themed after Cyberpunk 2077. And I know like a lot of people talk about this game.
Yeah. You're not hype?
I really did not see any, like, I guess I just I haven't seen anything on this game. Like, okay. I think I've seen some screenshots and stuff, but I didn't see any of like the gameplay videos or any of the trailers or any of that stuff. I know people are like psyched for it.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. I haven't like kept up on it a whole lot, but once it gets closer to release, I think I'll get back into it. But this case looks amazing.
Yeah, so this is a custom build by Techmenev, and he's basically, he built this. This is a custom made chassis, which
it almost looks like that Inwin, the D-Wave or the
S-Frame.
Okay, yeah.
So he made this custom case that fits everything, custom water cooling here, and the colors obviously have to do with Cyberpunk. I know that much about the game. and it's just a great build. Like, it's not crazy intense. The back actually has the custom built reservoir, which looks pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
But the case, I think that's what's more impressive, because that's custom made. To bend a piece of either aluminum or steel that way, and then, you know, powder coat it or paint it the way that he has is great.
I wish the power supply, like that cable, is just kind of coming out the top. I really think they could have figured out a different way to
incorporate that. But I think it's a good build. Like I said, I'm really impressed with just the custom fabrication in this one.
Yeah, same.
But it looks good. I love the reservoir, like I said, at the back here, which looks really good. It's just, like I said, just a good build. I really like it. He has a video on his channel, which is in our article that you guys can see here. And this was part of the Cooler Master World Series. We're going to be featuring a lot of those builds because it just finished. So there's a lot of awesome builds in there that we'll be featuring. But definitely check it out. Like I always say, if this case isn't your thing, we have a ton of case mods in our Case Mod Friday section. So definitely go ahead and check all of those out. And of course, our contest is still going on. It seems like forever, but we are getting to the end of this one coming up here soon. I don't see how many days we have. We have 6 days left on this. Yeah. 6 days left on our contest here that we are running with Corsair. We are giving away a 3-pack of their IQQL 120 RGB fans. We reviewed these a few weeks ago. They're awesome. There's 36 or 34 RGB LEDs in each fan. So super easy to enter. We do all of our contests through Gleam, and if you guys should be familiar with that, super easy to enter. Get your entry in, and then in 6 days, we might have another contest for you guys. So cool. Definitely get your entry in and share it with all your friends. And now we are on to news. And the big news this week, because they come out tomorrow, is that the RX 5500 XT, a lot of them have been spotted online or leaked. We'll talk about a few of the stories that came out this past week. First was the first listing of the RX 5500 XT. It was on JD.com, which is a Chinese retailer.
They're huge. Yeah.
And they listed 4 cards. So that one that confirmed that they will have an XT, which is going to be what we're going to see. But last week, we obviously didn't know that. They'll have between 4 and 8 gigabytes of memory, some with even 6 from what I've heard. So there'll be a lot of SKUs out there, which confuses us more, I feel. But yeah, so those were listed. That was kind of like the first thing we've heard, like, okay, this is actually happening. And then the cards from Gigabyte and ASRock were spotted.
Yeah, they were spotted, right? Yeah.
By the guys from Video Cards. So for ASRock, you have the Challenger card, which sits below their Phantom Gaming cards. Kind of basic design here. Not really a whole lot to talk about with this one.
No.
And then Gigabyte will have their cards. So far, they're going to have a gaming and an OC, or a gaming OC and an OC. Big difference between those two is the gaming OC will have their WinForce 3X cooler, which you guys can see here, and the OC will just have their WinForce 2X. And I don't believe that the gaming or the, sorry, the OC, there these names. So yeah. The gaming OC should have this RGB lighting here. I don't believe looks that. Plain, yeah. Yeah, I don't believe that the OC will. The big difference between these, besides the coolers, is their clock speeds as well. They're very close though. So the gaming OC is 1737 megahertz, whereas the OC is only 1733.
Okay. Are you even going to notice a difference?
Not much of a difference. You're basically getting better cooling on the one, some better RGB lighting on the one too.
Yeah.
So those are the difference with those.
Backplates all around as well.
Yeah, backplates. I don't know
if they're metal or plastic.
This one should be metal. This one's likely plastic.
Yeah.
And then the thing to keep in mind is that I don't believe, at least so far, we don't think there's going to be an Aorus card. As you guys remember, the 5700 XT Aorus card came out way later. So if you're waiting for an Aorus 5500 XT, it's not going to probably happen at launch, just based on everything that we know. So keep that in mind. Then finally, the card that's probably going to be the, at least at launch, will probably
the
be
premier the, card.
The premier card is Sapphire will be making a special edition of their 5500 XT Nitro Plus. So we saw this with their 5700 XT as well. So we actually reviewed the Nitro Plus, but there's a Nitro Plus special edition. It has the highest overclock that Sapphire has on the card, plus it comes with two ARGB fans. The 5700 had three. And one thing that's interesting about this design is you can see that the PCB is short.
It's pretty short.
And this is a dual fan solution. So it's not even like it's a three fan
solution. The ASRock was like that as well.
Yeah. So, and if you, the PCB is incredibly short on this. So that's just something that we noticed about this as well. Amazon actually has this one listed. I think it's still listed. I can't imagine they took it down. They did not take it down. Yeah, so it's $239. Yeah, $239. So these should be, you should see reviews of these tomorrow.
I do like that that backplate is cut out too, to let that back fan.
Yeah, that was something very interesting. Yeah. So I think, at least at launch, you should have some premium options. The gaming OC from Gigabyte, and definitely the Sapphire card. I think a lot of people will want the Sapphire card based on looks, and it should have the highest overclock at launch, I would think, for these cards. So very cool on that front. And then we will move on here to another thing from AMD. So the their Radeon software Adrenaline edition came out. So every year they have a big software launch, and I love this because this gives them time to work on new features and give what AMD fans have wanted for years and years and years is like an update to the software every year, right? So this year they've completely redesigned their software. It looks good. They've added some new features and things like that. I won't go into detail, but the new Radeon Boost, basically, you know, what this does is it's going to give you more performance. You turn it on, it's going to give you more performance. I've seen people who have actually tested this say they get about a 12% performance boost.
That's pretty good.
You know, they have other things. Their new image sharpening and anti-lag stuff they built in the software. There's a lot in this, and I really like that. You know, we've seen it the past couple years where AMD has really made they made software like a priority.
Their last version was obviously not this, because I think this looks like quite a bit of an improvement, but the previous generation was also quite a bit of an improvement.
Yeah, I remember maybe it was like 3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago. I remember it was like, it's been 258 days since AMD has released a driver update. it's really great to see this. It just, and to bring features and to bring things software wise to in our existing product that you have. So then when you download this, you're like, oh, now I get this.
Yep.
NVIDIA has done it for so long. It's great to see AMD doing it too. So if you do have a Radeon card, I would go ahead and download the latest software.
It looks a lot more, intuitive as well. I was always searching when I was, you know, running in an AMD card. I was always searching for where the heck are these settings and going into sub menus, and there would be text, like I'd have to expand little text sections to find out if that's where I wanted to go. This looks better already.
And one thing I do like about it is that it brings everything into one app. Because with NVIDIA, you have your NVIDIA settings and you have GeForce Experience, which are two completely different things.
Yep.
This has everything. This has your games in there, so you can, you know, set up all your stuff, you know, for each game. It's all in one package. And I think honestly, it's better put together than NVIDIA, because NVIDIA settings looks like something from 1998. It just,
it's horrible, but
GeForce Experience is great, but
I don't know why they can't wrap it up into one.
Yeah. We need one piece of software. Hopefully we see that maybe with the next generation of NVIDIA products. I don't know, but great to see this. Definitely, you know, like I said, if you have an AMD card, it kind of just makes sense to download it and check out the new features. And I might actually give this a spin, because I have a couple 5700 and 5700 XTs just kind of sitting here I want to play with. So might check it out for sure. And then talking about CPU stuff, we have some interesting news. And we'll first talk about Dell. So Dell already blamed Intel for their lower quarter earnings, or their lower year end earnings. They basically called them out on their conference call. Now in an interview, they say that they're looking to AMD as an alternative because Intel is still having shortages, and they don't expect these shortages to stop until mid 2020. And of course they have product to sell. Dell has AMD power systems. They have for a while, but
they're so hard to find, and there are so few of them.
So for Dell to say, you know, we're looking at AMD, you know, AMD could take a good percentage of that market share that Intel had. Yeah. And as a company, Dell kind of has to do that because they have to ship product, right?
Yeah, exactly. They still have to sell. I'm curious to see if, like, let's say Dell kind of does pivot that direction. You know, can AMD keep up with those supply demands? Because I don't know that they've really been tasked with that for the last
not in a long time. Yeah, not by a big supplier like that,
and not at the numbers that Intel provides chips.
Yeah, then they did come out with, there is a version of the MacBook Pro that has an AMD part in it.
You mean the Surface?
It was a Surface. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that's like a big order, I would think.
Yeah.
If people buy that SKU, which I don't know if they will. But on the other hand, you know, Dell's already called them out on their conference call. Now they're doing this in the press per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're just doing this to put even more pressure on Intel to get their shit together.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fine with me, because I'm tired of long wait dates on big orders at work. So
yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, I just didn't expect these problems. And it's not even like, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, I guess there is a huge demand, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the 10 nanometer thing, like, that was a problem. It's still a problem. But to not be able to fill current orders on current, you know, processes is just weird to me. I don't know. For as big as a company as Intel is, but you know, I don't know. But we did get information on Comet Lake. So that is the next generation of Intel desktop processors and the platform and everything like that. Sadly, it is going to be 14 nanometer, which was not completely expected, but as things have gotten worse with 10 nanometer,
became more apparent, I think.
It's become very apparent. This will debut in Q2 2020 or April 2020. And the flagship processor will be the Core i9-10. Am I saying this right? Because what's like the nomenclature? It's 10900K?
I think 10900 is going to be the best way to say that, because nobody's going to say 10,900. The 10900.
Yeah, the 10900K, 10 core, 20 thread. We've heard about it before.
Yep.
But it is going to be 14 nanometer. It is going to be based on a microarchitecture that's been out since 2015. That was launched in 2015.
I don't even know what to say about it, right? Like, so yeah, you're on that same architecture. You know, the feature overview is touting PCIe 3 lanes.
Yeah, so
when we're coming up on almost a year at that point of PCIe 4 on the AMD platform.
Yeah, so the actual platform you're going to get a new socket. So it's going to be LGA 1200.
Yep.
LGA 1200, which means you will need a new motherboard. You can't slot this into a Z390 board. It will be Z490. The updates to the actual platform include 2.5 gig LAN as part of the platform. So you can get, you can get 2.5 gig LAN, and it comes on a lot of boards these days, but it's by a third party. It's by like Realtek or whoever. This is going to be on the chipset, you know, and you're going to get Wi-Fi 6. So 802.11ax will be included as well. So that's like a plus for me, but that's not exciting. It's not PCI Express 4.0, you know, which is,
And I mean, the wireless is nice, but at the same time, that also means you probably have to, you're going to have to upgrade your wireless hardware. So it's, I don't know, touting that new, whatever.
Yeah, it's just...
I'm just not excited.
Yeah. And then there's going to be new power modes, or like low power modes. Basically, what these will do will give your computer sort of like a tablet-like availability. It's kind of like an iPad. Like, I have an iPad. Uh-huh. And basically, you know, the way low power modes work now is your computer goes into sleep mode, and then it has to wake up, and all those apps have to re-wake up, right?
Yeah.
With this, those apps will work in a very low power state, fanless power state, and still be able to get like notifications and things like that in a low power mode. I think that's better. You know, so you'll get that as well. But again, this is just not exciting. It's just not.
Because I mean, what, your clock speeds aren't going to be like crazy. I mean, they're going to be what, 5 gigahertz, maybe 5.1.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm not excited.
I just don't see how in April this is going to be competitive still against Ryzen 3000 series. And in April, we should have info on Ryzen 4000 series.
Yeah, I would rather see Intel slow down, figure out 10 nanometer, and, you know, come back into it, almost like AMD had to do before bringing out Ryzen.
Well, here's the thing, and we talked about it before, is like, why would I buy this part? Because you know when 10 nanometer is good, and that's going to hopefully be what comes after Comet Lake. Like, we would hope 10 nanometer would be next. That is going to be insane performance. The power is going to be better. Like, everything would be better about that. So why would I buy this part?
Yep.
When the next part's going to come out in a year and be so much better. That's like when the 8700K was the first 6-core, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And we got so much more performance, and it came out like not much, you know, not far after the previous one came out. So it was like, you get all this much more performance. So it's like, it's just, I would never buy this if I had, like, you know,
it's like you're in a upgrade purgatory with Intel right now.
Yeah. Because something so much better is coming.
Right.
You know,
we assume.
We hopefully assume that it will be coming. But one good thing about the next upgrade is that we did get confirmation that the Core i5, or at least one Core i5 processor, will finally feature hyper-threading.
Cool.
So for the longest time, Core i7 and then Core i9. Those featured hyper-threading, so it would be like an 8-core, 16-thread processor. For Core i5, it was always 6-core, 6-thread, or 4-core, 4-thread. You never had hyper-threading.
Sure.
But a new entry into a 3D Mark database showed a Core i5 10600, and the 10600 has 6 cores and 12 logical processors, meaning that it is a 6-core, 12-thread part, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's, I mean, they kind of had to do it because with the 3600X from AMD is 6-core, 6-thread. Yeah. So that's like an exciting thing. You know what I mean?
Not offering that on your mid-range, you know, kind of lineup just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I just don't think that, you know, I don't know. I just don't. Yeah. It's just like, you know, like we love Intel and like we just wish they could just get this together.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And I'm confident they will. It's just, it's so weird and funny how the bagging on Intel is, you know, has taken the focus off of bagging on AMD for so long, right? It's just,
yeah,
they're the punching bag now. And so,
yeah. So that's a good thing. You will get hyper threading. I would assume you'll get it on, I would hope you would get it on all Core i5 models.
Yeah, it'd be weird to just offer it on one.
But like that wouldn't surprise me.
Piece.
That would not surprise me if it was just on one. So we shall see. A new release this past week is something we also saw at CES 2019.
I kind of forgot about this drive, and then it announced, and I actually went back to our news posts from CES, and I was like, didn't we see it? And we did. So yeah. I didn't realize it was going to take so long for this drive to come out.
Yeah, I don't know why it has taken so long. Probably.
I wonder if it's due to the lighting, because I almost thought that they were talking about some issues with the lighting and it.
This is, I think, this is like one of my favorite products.
Yeah, it was. I know we really enjoyed it, seeing it at CES last year.
I just think because at that time, RGB was like crazy in your face. Like, let me throw as much RGB on a product as I can.
Yeah.
And this has just like these little RGB, you know, this is RGB strip, but it is kind of blocked off. So you get these like little sections, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it finally has come out. So this is their VPR 100. It is PCI Express Gen 3 drive, but still very fast in its own right. It does have RGB lighting. I do think, at least in my opinion, it's one of the coolest RGB lighting, at least so far. Who knows what we're going to see this year at CES. But just a nice drive. And they did add the Viper logo, which at CES, I don't believe it had the Viper logo. I could be wrong. But yeah, it's available in 1 and 2 terabyte models, which I like. I you know, people who are coming out with these, you know, 256 gig models and 128. I don't think people still do that, but if they did, it'd be kind of dumb. But this is now available. Hopefully we'll get one into review because I definitely want to check it out, install it, and see what it, you know, it looks like installed and up and running and everything like that. And then our final piece of news this week is gaming related. And it looks like a new BioShock game is in development. I honestly have never played a BioShock
game. Yeah, I have. You know what? I think. Oh, man. I take that back. I've played like maybe 5 minutes of a BioShock game and I couldn't get into it. And I know 5 minutes is probably not enough time to spend, but I was just never drawn to that series.
Yeah, I never was either.
I don't know why.
I know a ton of people are. And when this came out, a lot of people were pumped. So 2K Games has set up a new studio called Cloud Chamber who will be developing the game. They are, the people who are part of the studio are people who have been working on the franchise since pretty much the beginning. Cool. So if you're a BioShock fan, this is obviously good news. I don't know what else to say about it because again, I can't even tell you. I mean, I've seen like the games and stuff, and I think we used to use one of the BioShocks back in the day for like benchmarking, but yeah. I literally have never played the game.
I haven't either, but I understand that it's a popular title. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah. So it's not that, like I said, I it's good to see these franchises get like
sequels, and
yeah, it's just like the, just like we had Borderlands 3 finally. And
well, and I think this one's another one where you're getting a sequel and it's warranted. Sometimes you feel like you get these second games and third games and you can just tell they're trying to milk people for money. Yeah. And get as much out of folks as they can.
I agree.
I don't think that's the case here, hopefully.
So that brings us what we have coming up next week. I did not finish my review of the InWin 309. So I will be taking a look at that next week. This guy right here, yep. That has the cool, I guess you would call it 8-bit. But it has that and it has some RGB elements inside. So I will be taking a look at that for you guys. And then I'll also be taking a look at, it's actually in front of me it is this guy right here. This is the ever popular Glorious PC Gaming Race Model O. It is a lightweight mouse, one of the first I've been using, and actually if I can, I can't lift it up because my wire is not long enough, but I've been using the MM710 from
the Cooler Master.
It's their 52 gram mouse, and this one is, does it say how light it is? I don't know. But anyways, the Model O, this is 67 grams. But this one has RGB lighting, which I think, while this one looks great, this one has RGB lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the white version, which will match my desk. So excited.
I do like how they integrated their logo on the side of it.
Yeah.
That lighting strip where it's rotating there. And it looks like it's a, can you scroll down to the cable? So it looks like it's a long light. Okay. They make it look like it's a really long cable there, but a nice light and flexible cord. I really appreciate. Yeah,
so
right?
The Cooler Master one had, I forget the name of the, or forget like the type of the cloth on the Cooler Master one. I know I talked about it. I don't know if this one has that or not, but the Cooler Master one does. And it's like the best cloth stuff, whatever it is. It's awesome for USB cables. So cool. If it's made of the same stuff, definitely into that. And then finally I'll be taking a look at a monitor, and this is from Aorus, and this is another product that we saw at CES, surprisingly.
Is it
I think that was
a tactical monitor, right?
Yeah, this is the tactical monitor. So this is it has the microphone and has everything in it. So this is the CV27Q from Aorus, 27-inch curved gaming monitor. They call it a tactical monitor because there's all these features, which we'll go into and all that stuff in the review. I'm excited to take a look at it. I haven't done a monitor review in a while, so I'm pretty excited to. And it allows me to game. I can have an excuse for gaming, which
I got to do this testing.
Yeah, so I got to do this testing. So all of that for you guys as well. So I'm pretty excited to test this.
65 hertz.
Yeah, 1 ms response time. Like it's good stuff there. So I'm pretty excited to test this out as well. So I will have that for you guys. And that is pretty much it, guys. At the end we talk about if we did anything tech related or if, did you do it? I mean, you built your system.
Yeah. I built the system on Sunday. So I had to tear down my 1800X system, put it into another case, 'cause that'll kind of be my review system, and then built this up. Also got a vertical, GPU mount in there. So I kind of integrating that into the build.
Nice.
I figured out my video driver issue right before the podcast, so I got that fixed. So that's
there you go.
So just working
it's
through
always,
some kinks on it.
It's always you're like, well, oh, this build's gonna go so good, and then you're like, oh, geez.
Well, what this was I downloaded the GeForce drivers, and in their little like selection menu that on NVIDIA's site, it had selected the mobile GPU, and it installed fine. So I'm surprised it didn't flag and say, hey, this is a mobile driver.
That is weird.
So I pulled that off, put the right one on, and that fixed the issue.
Typically what I do, especially if it's a system I'm going to be using, I just download GeForce Experience and then have it download the driver for me.
Yeah.
That's typically what I do. But for me, I really haven't done anything. I've been working on reviews and just get stuff done. Busy. So
we've been doing a lot of talking, getting ready for CES.
Oh, really, I'm so excited for CES. It's coming up. We will be there. We'll both be there. What is the dates? The 5th?
The 5th is that Sunday.
Yeah. So the 5th through that entire week, we'll be at CES. So much. We're going to hopefully have a lot of content.
I hope.
Coming out of CES. You will see Ryan on camera at least at some point.
Yep.
So that will be a lot of fun. So we'll definitely have that. We will have all the information for that as we get closer. We'll have a dedicated CES page. And we'll make sure you guys have like all of our social media, where to follow us, how to do all that stuff, like we do every year. So definitely excited for that. But it's just a lot of planning, and it's just frustrating at times.
Yeah, it's a full schedule.
So. Yeah. So definitely excited for that. But that is it, guys. So we'll go ahead and end things here. As I always say, we do have our full show notes page, which I'll bring up for you one last time. And as everything that we talked about, so as we go through, if you're listening, you can click through and get even more information. And we will be streaming. So everybody who's on this stream, head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Because that is gaming night, and it gives us another reason to game.
Unbox that monitor and get it out real quick.
No. I don't think I'm going to do that tonight. But we will be gaming probably Apex, because I kind of want to play that.
Oh, that's what you want to play. All right.
Oh, we'll play. We'll play whatever Roy wants to play. But we will be on Twitch. So again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And then again, on all of your favorite podcasting apps or software, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.